Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 5, Text 21. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Kalam karma svabhavam cha mayesho mayaya svaya atman yadrichaya praptam vibhu bhushar upadade. The Lord, who is the controller of all energies, thus creates by his own potency eternal time, the fate of all living entities, and their particular nature for which they were created. And he again merges them independently. Creation of the material world, wherein the conditioned souls are allowed to act subordinately by the Supreme Lord, takes place again and again after being repeatedly annihilated. The material creation is something like a cloud in the unlimited sky. The real sky is the spiritual sky, eternally filled with the rays of the Brahmachyoti, and a portion of this unlimited sky is covered by the Mahatattva of the supreme material creation, in which the conditioned souls who want to lord against the will of the Lord are put into the play as they desire under the control of the Lord by the agency of his external energy. As the rainy season appears and disappears regularly, the creation takes place and is again annihilated under the control of the Lord, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 8:19. So the creation and annihilation of the material worlds is a regular action of the Lord, just to allow the conditioned souls to play as they like, and thereby create their own fate of being differently created again in terms of their independent desires at the time of creation. I'm going to get a frame of reference on this, because we've also been away, I'm going to read back a few verses. So, and just, again, kind of describe a little bit what happened. Sukadev wants to answer Maharaj Prickett's questions about the process of creation, which is quite a technical subject matter, and also, it's inconceivable. We can't figure it out by our experience in this world, how God creates the world. Therefore, he offered prayers. He offered prayers describing Krishna's position and with the desire to be empowered. And then the inspiration came that the same question really that Maharaj Prickett had asked him about the process of creation was basically asked by Narada Muni in the disciplic succession to Lord Brahma. And therefore he began to narrate the historical incident when Lord Brahma described the process of creation. And we described it began with Narada Muni questioning his position seeing how great Lord Brahma was, but at the same time the fact that he was performing austerities indicated that he wasn't self-sufficient, and he asked him, who is God? Or are you the controller? Who is the controller? And then Lord Brahma, then we're going to read what Lord Brahma said. My dear boy Narada, being merciful to all, including me, you have asked all these questions because I've been inspired to see into the prowess of the Almighty Personality of God. See, he's very happy that these questions were asked because it gave him a chance to explain about God and God's prowess and God's position. And then he said, whatever you have spoken about me is not false. Because unless one is aware of the personality of God, who is the ultimate truth beyond me, one is sure to be illusioned by observing my powerful activities. So it's really not false, what you've asked, Narada, because I'm so powerful. So unless you know God, then how will you be able to see me in a relative way? I'm so far powerful and awe-inspiring and so far beyond you. I think it's described like an ant that walks on the chest of a man. You know, how can he help but think that he's in a forest from his perspective, unless he gets some superior perspective? So our perspective is so limited. Unless we get knowledge of God, how can we not be bewildered about who God is? And therefore we may think that the demigods are God, or Brahma is God. How can you not come to that conclusion? And then Brahma explained his position, that he creates after the Lord's creation. And that very nice example is given of a person who makes a garden. He does not create the plants. He's the secondary creator of the plants. God has given the seeds. So he's explained that position. And then he offers obeisances to the Supreme Lord, by whose potency influences people. The potency of Krishna that influences people, to be an illusion. To not see what's there. To not see that Krishna is God. To not see that they're Krishna's servant. And then he explains, I guess now I'm beginning, my frame of reference is beginning to be restored. Really, then he goes into this explanation of Sambandhagyan, the relationship between the living entity and the material energy, the relationship between God and the material energy. That the illusory energy, it can't take precedence over God. But it bewilders the living entity into illusion. And that illusion is that he's the controller, that Krishna is not the controller. So he begins to explain, and therefore that the creation of this world is coming from God, and that's reality. And then there's these famous verses about Narayana's position. That it's Narayana, that's the ultimate goal of all religious processes. Very, very beautiful verses. He's the goal of all, the ultimate destination of all yoga systems. All these religious processes, these sacrifices, this elevation through the planets. I'm seeing here too that when Brahma described Narayana, he described them actually he said, look at religion. Basically, look at the Vedas, look at the ascent through the higher planets, look at sacrifices, look at the Vedic literatures, look at the worship of the demigods, meditation, tapasya, austerities, and know that the goal of everything, the goal of any process of realizing the truth is Narayana, who is the supreme truth. So this was also described, and then Brahma explained his position, that I create what was first inspired and created by him, and created by him, and I'm created by him. And then he began to describe now starting in 18, there are three texts where Lord Brahma is going to talk about the difference between the individual spirit soul and the supreme spirit soul. And the relationship between them. This is again Sambandhagyan. He's going to explain this relationship, because this was Narada's confusion. He didn't know the relationship between him and Lord Brahma, between Lord Brahma and Krishna. He didn't know between his relationship, between his and Krishna's. He was a little bit bewildered about this. So therefore, Brahma is going to explain this relationship. The Supreme Lord is pure spiritual form. He's transcendental to the material quality. Krishna is transcendental to this material world. If you don't know that Krishna is transcendental to this material world, you either become a materialist or a Mayavadi. You don't understand Krishna's transcendental position. Yet for the sake of the creation, he accepts the external energy of the modes of nature called goodness, passion, and ignorance. So he's explaining the difference between the living entity and the supreme soul. At the same sense, he's going to give a little bit touch or understanding about the creation. So from this, he's going to describe how those modes of nature are further manifested. Because he described the basic principle is the modes of nature. That's the basic principle of creation. I described a little bit about this before, about the modes of nature, and the basic principle of the material world is that God wants to help us be in the illusion that we are separate from Him, to experience that so that we can give it up. That's the essence of the material world. And that experience is manifested by matter transforming around the individual living entity to give him various experiences of enjoyment and control, which is illusions, though. So the modes, they're mixed and they're shapes and they give that soul. It's a very technical subject matter. So he explains that the three modes of nature being further manifested as matter, knowledge, and activities put the eternally transcendental living entity under conditions of cause and effect and make him responsible for such activities. So see the beauty of this. The modes of nature fully manifest, further manifest as matter, knowledge, and activities. And through this, the living entity gets karma for his activities. He becomes so this is the difference between the living entity and God. It's God that's putting the living entity under illusion. And he puts the eternally transcendental living entity under conditions of cause and effect and makes him responsible for such activities. He's purifying us through karma. In other words, we get to be the enjoyer and experience that, but at the same time that we experience that we're the enjoyer, we have to take responsibility for acting separate from God, and therefore he conditions us away from that spirit of enjoyment. This is what the material world does. It says, you know, you want to enjoy, enjoy, and suffer. There's a story of Prabhupada on the park in Venice Beach or something. And it's so funny how what is cognitive dissonance. When you try to think of the past, you know, different images get mixed. So I can't understand if this was me or Prabhupada. Because there was one time I was on this pier near where I lived. And I think a fisherman came by me with a glass of water and a fish. It was something, you know, I said, hey, you want? Or something like that. But I can't remember if this happened to Prabhupada, it was me. But I know there's a story with Prabhupada where someone passed him and offered him something. And Prabhupada said, no, it's okay, you enjoy. And the person walked back by and Prabhupada said, and suffer. So that's the material world. You enjoy and suffer. That's the material world. So Prabhupada's explaining, this is really the essence of what's going on in terms of creation. The modes are manifesting. Now, how do they manifest? It describes as matter, knowledge, and activities. So the three modes are manifest as matter. So that's pretty simple to understand as matter, substance. Dravya means substance. Then it's manifested as knowledge. Jnanam. Now, Jnanam refers to the deities presiding over the senses. The demigods, the deities presiding over the senses. And then as Kriya, and Kriya means, or actions means the organs of the senses. So these are the three things. There's matter, there's the senses, and there's the controller of the senses. And this is called Dravya, Jnana, and Kriya. And this is somehow the process. This is all connected with karma somehow. That matter is controlled, the senses are controlled, and then the demigods are controlling the senses, and this conditions the living entity. It's all part of the controlling system. And Prabhupada relates terms to that too, which I'm trying to figure that. I guess dravya is adibhutam, jnana is adidhaivam, and kriya is adhyatmika. Kriya is initiative. It has to do with adhyatmika, with the self and how it moves. So Prabhupada explained this. And the last verse we did, O Brahmana Narada, the Siya, the transcendent laws, is beyond the perception of the material senses of the living entities because of the above-mentioned three modes of nature. But he's the controller of everyone, including me. Perfect summary. The Supreme Lord is above these modes of nature. He's not controlled. That's his relationship with the modes. He's controlling of everyone, including me. But the living entity, explained in the previous verse, completely under those modes. And completely illusion. The fact is that such impersonalists also are covered. Now, today's verse, I think, no, I'm not sure, yeah. The Lord, who is the controller of all energies, thus creates, by his own potency, eternal time, the fate of all living entities and their particular nature, for they are created, and then merges them independently. So the controller, by his maya, he creates time, karma, which is the fate of the living entity, the swabhavam of the nature, and then he merges them. So again, the concept of God being the controller of this whole system to purify the conditioned soul. So this is also important aspects of the creation. Kalam, karma, svabhavam. This is also there. And that Prabhupada discussed this in this verse. It's Krishna who is the controller of this. He's the controller. Prabhupada quotes from the Bhagavad Gita 9.5 to 9.7, which is always significant when he quotes these verses of Krishna. It basically his achintya beta beta tattva relationship with the material world. That he's creating everything without defect. These verses in chapter 9 of Bhagavad Gita, it's God is the creator without defect. If he's not the creator, he's not perfect. But there's problems with creation. Creation means mayatatam idam sarvam, that God is everywhere. The problem is if you're everywhere, then you become impersonal, which is a defect in personality. But he says, although I create everywhere, I remain aloof. So there's not the defect of impersonality. Then the other defect is, I analyzed these verses once in relationship of Krishna being God without any defect. And then I went to, at that time, our Sanskrit teacher. He explained it like this. He thought that this was proper explanation of those verses. Another defect is if you create everything, you're burdened. Because everything's maintaining on you. So he says, even though I'm creating everything, I'm not burdened. That was the next verse. I remain aloof. I remain aloof, I'm not impersonal. But although I remain aloof, still everything is resting on me, even though I remain aloof. But although it's resting on me, mamatma bhuta bhavana, I create by my own will, I'm not burdened. Then another defect of creation is that when you create everything and you're the controller, then you're responsible for everything. And look at all the things. So then he says, udasani vat. It means like I'm seated like neutral. I'm not exactly neutral. But I'm neutral. So it's like Prabhupada gives the example of the judge. He says, you get killed, you get rewarded, but he doesn't get touched by it. And then the final verse was, mayadyakshena prakriti suyate, but I'm still the controller of everything, not a blade grasp. This is God's position. This is God's position. Similarly, although the Supreme Lord maintains everything created by expansive energy, he always remains separate, Narayana Pravyaktat. And Prabhupada gives the example in Bhagavad Gita also that everything rests on space, still space remains separate. It's a great example because everything's moving within space, but space accommodates it without being affected. Now, we'll go on. Kala guna vyatikara parinama svabhavata karmano janma mahata purasha dishtitad abhut. So after the incarnation of the first Purusha, Karana Dakshai Vishnu, now it's going back again to the creation and explaining it even a more detailed and basic way. The Mahatattva, or the principles of material creation, take place, and then time is manifested, and in course of time the three qualities appear, and nature means the three qualities, qualitative appearance, they transform to activity. So he goes back further, before the modes, because he mentioned in the previous verse also a summary of creation that had to deal with Kala, time. So time, the factor of time, manifests before the modes. So he's going to go back even further. So Prabhupada said, by the omnipotency of the Supreme Lord, the whole material creation evolves by the process of transformation and reactions, one after another, and by the same omnipotency, they are wound up again, one after another, and conserved in the body of the Supreme. So this is how it's described, that because Purusha Adishtat, because of the Purusha it happens, which is Karana Dakshai Vishnu. Then in the Mahat Tattva, first there's Kala, time, and then Parinama, the transformation. Then there's Swabhav, the nature, and then after the nature comes Karmana, or the activities. So this is also a different thing related here of that. That there's Kala, time is the first cause, because time has remained merged within the Supreme Being. This is Kala. Then Svabhavata, when then nature is manifest, then that becomes the next cause. So the first cause is Kala, then the next cause is the nature, and finally, karma. Then when destiny is of the individual soul become, it's another cause. So Krishna is the cause of all causes. That's what this chapter is mentioning. So it's dealing with all the causes. It started with Brahma, who's the secondary creator. And then it went above him to the modes of material nature. Then now it's gone to Karana Dakshai Vishnu. Then the Mahatattva. Then time. Then Svabhavata. Then Kala. Very, very interesting how this is all... Krishna is the cause of all causes. Very fascinating. Now it goes further. Mahatastu vikurvana rajasatvo brabhimhitat tamapradanas svabhavad dravya karma kriyatmana. Material activities are caused by the mahatattvas being agitated. At first, there is transformation of the mode of goodness and passion, and later, due to the mode of ignorance, matter, its knowledge, and different activities of material. So now this dravya, jnana, and kriya are manifestations of the mode of ignorance, it says here. Because it describes that the principle ahad is characterized first by three qualities, but goodness, passion, and darkness, yet it's indicated here, but goodness and passion, it's flourishing. Because passion is the action. And goodness has to do with the knowledge and how it works. Something like this. I'll read from Prabhupada. Because material creation of every description are more or less due to the development of the mode of passion. The Mahatattva is the principal creation, and when it is agitated by the will of the Supreme, at first, the modes of passion and goodness are prominent. and afterwards the mode of passion. So then passion. Prabhupada sums it up in a way, I think, studying it further and further, things will become... In other words, the gross matters are adibhutan, the maintenance is adidaivan, that's the demigods, and the initiator is called the adyatman, that's the self. In the material world, these principles are prominent features. Raw materials, Prabhupada makes it very simple. Raw materials matter, it's regular supplies, which is the demigods. And again, the terms used for raw material is dravya and adibhutam. And regular supplies is jnana shakti or jnana and adidaivam. And its variety, its various, its use in various material creations is kriya shakti or kriya and adiyatman. It's like a puzzle, you know, trying to get it in focus. Yeah, I'm just trying to, I went through Prabhupada's purports again here and tried to, now it's gonna get into something else here. Sahankara iti prokto vakurvan samabhutrida vaikarikas taijasascha tamasascheti yadvida dravya shakti kriya shakti jnana shaktir iti prabho. Now these different shaktis are manifesting. The self-centered materialistic ego, thus being transformed into three features, becomes known as the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance in three divisions. Namely, the powers that evolve matter, that's adibhutam. Knowledge of material creation, that's, I guess, I can see where the editing could have been better. Because if the knowledge of material creation, you think it's jnana shakti, but here it refers to I'm pretty sure that I really feel in this verse that the editors did not, Gaura Prabhupada said, confused. Because they would have made clear, in other words, knowledge of material creation should be jnana shakti. And the intelligent guides such materials activities. But that says jnana shakti. Because there has to be those three. There has to be jnana, kriya, and dravya. So dravya is matter. I looked at this and powers that evolve matter. Kriya, initiation that creates. So which is that here? What? Knowledge of material creations. But then, okay, so knowledge of material creations doesn't refer to jnana shakti. And jnana shakti, the intelligence that guides such materialist activities. Narada, you are quite competent to understand this, but Dhanadhara Swami has problems. So. Then some further editing would have been required. But definitely Kriya Shakti is the organs of the senses. And Dravya and Jnana Shakti is that guidance. And Dravya Shakti is matter. And so, the mode of goodness or the Brahminical culture recommended in the Vedic literature is helpful to, and thus the jnana shakti stage of the conditioned soul is comparatively better than the other two stages, namely dravya shakti and kriya shakti. Basically, goodness is better than passion and ignorance. Basically. And then Prabhupada describes this, that Kriya Shakti is like, you know, material civilization. which has a huge accumulation of materials, Dravya Shakti. And so that, it's actually, this is very interesting. Prabhupada gives us little insights to get us to understand this. You look at material civilization, what do these people see? They see Dravya Shakti, which is the material energy, and they see Kriya Shakti, which is the living entity moving it. But they don't see Jnana Shakti, that there's a superior power guiding everything. So they don't have knowledge. They don't have knowledge that if there's a controller, something like Jnana Shakti. Further, Tamasarapi Bhuta Deya Vikurvanarabunaba Tasya Matra Guna Shabdo Lingam Yadrasta Dristaya. From the darkness of false ego, the first of the five elements, namely the sky, is generated. Its subtle form is the quality of sound, is exactly as the seer is in relationship with the seen. Now, and this seems to be, from the darkness of false ego. This is interesting too. So this ahankara has been described as before the modes of nature. Ahankara is the root of the material world. Ahankara is ahankara. I am the doer. That's the illusion. I am the controller. I am the doer. So from that subtle material conception, the material world is manifesting from ahankara, from false ego, false conception. And therefore, the process to become free from entanglement in the material world is to develop real ego. I am the servant of Krishna. This is the real essence. We can see how material the world is manifesting from this false ego, and how our spiritual process is to amalgamate the false ego, and how the process of Krishna consciousness doesn't annihilate the ego, but it gives the real ego that I am Krishna's servant. Then automatically the ahankara, the false ego, is automatically annihilated. So hear this verse from the darkness of false ego. The first of the five elements is created, which is the sky, whose matra or subtle form is sound, exactly as the seer is in relationship with the seen. So this begins the creation. So from the false ego, the first of the elements is manifested. So it's the most subtle, which is sky. And the subtle form of sky is sound. And Prabhupada in the purport gives an example of this, that sound is the representation of an object. It's therefore the subtle characteristic of the object. I heard that in Sanskrit, the words are actually the sound form of the object. Yeah, it's something. The shadow element and the living entity. And of course, Prabhupada takes this point to understand that you're delivered from the darkness of this world by sound. Because sound is the first thing that comes from the false ego, the sky and the sound. So to change it, you can change it by sound. So then, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that the Prabhupada seems to take it a step further than that. He says that, and then that's when Krishna and sound and all this, is that particular sound, is that sound that was good, no different than Krishna and his qualities, really nice ending that last session.
The pure devotee is not aloof from the Lord for a moment. The holy name of the Lord is recommended in the Shastras. Hare Krishna. May therefore be constantly chanted by the devotee aspiring to be constantly in touch with the Lord. One is thus able to associate with the Lord and sure to be delivered from darkness of the created world, which is a product of false ego. Become liberated from the created world, that's why chanting, you're not living in the created world. Oh, the created world is so much suffering. Rather be old and young. It means you've got 20, like almost 50. means you got 30 more years than me, probably, this created world. It just never ends. If you get involved in the created world, it just never ends. The mode, you know, it's just so entangling. The modes are moving, and because they're moving, they move people in relationship with you, you know, and agitate you in this circle. You gotta get out of it. You gotta get out of the world. And that's what Prabhupada says. Tamasi ma jyoti gamaha. Out of the ignorance, go to the light. So now this progression is described. Nabasota vakurvana da bootsparsha guno nila paranvayach shabdavamsja prana oja sahobalam vayoravi vikurvana kalakarma svabhavata udapadyatta tejo vai rupavat sparsha shabdavat tejasastu vikurvana da siddhambo rasatmakam Rupa Vatsparsha Vatschambo Gosha Vatscha Paranvayat Visheshas Tu Vikurvanat Ambaso Gandavanabhut Paranvayat Rasasparsha Shabda Rupa Gunandita. Because the sky is transformed, the air is generated with the quality of touch, and by previous succession, the air is also full of sound and the basic principles of life, duration of life. All right, so the transformation is there. I think we know this. The sky is transformed. Air is generated. Air has the quality of touch, but air also has what sky has, which is also sound. And the basic principle of the duration of life, prana, is there. Prana is also there in the air. The life airs of prana. The prana is in the life airs. When the air is transformed in course of time and nature's course, fire is generated, taking shape with the sense of touch and sound. So touch and sound is there. But also, air is ether has sound. Right. And air has touch. So when you get to fire, you also can touch fire. You can also hear fire. And you can also see fire. So fire also has, shape. Since fire is transformed into manifestation of water with juice and taste. So now we know that water has the qualities of everything else. You can taste water. You can see water. You can touch water. You can hear water. As previously, it is also has form and touch and is also full of sound. And water being transformed from a very earth appears odorous. And then earth is the most gross manifestation of matter. And it has the full sense experience. Because it also has odor. Water has taste. Water, you can see water, it also has taste. But earth also has smell, it has taste, it has sound, all of these. Now, from the mode of goodness, so that was from the darkness of false ego. Tejasa 2. From the mode of goodness, the mind is generated and becomes manifest as also the 10 demigods controlling the bodily movements. Such demigods are known as the controller of the directions, the controller of the air, the sun god, the father of Daksha Prajapati, the Ashwini Kumars, the fire god, the king of heaven, the worshipable deity in heaven, the chief of the Adityas, and Brahmaji, the Prajapatis, all come into existence. So this is from the mode of goodness is talked about in this verse. And then Prabhupada explains how again, goodness is maintenance, tejasis is creation, and tamas is the full display of material creation and the spell of darkness of ignorance. Okay, here it is. It first described manifestation from false ego in the mode of ignorance. Now false ego, then from the mode of goodness, the mind is generated. So these are the different creations. The mind is created. Oh yeah, okay, this is... Okay. It's become more clear. What happened is it described creation from the mode of ignorance. Matter was created. Dravya. Material matter. The raw supplies. Then, in 26 to 29, it described the creation of that was matter. Now 30 describes from goodness comes the Jnana Shakti. From goodness comes the Jnana Shakti. Ahankara in the mode of goodness is the Jnana Shakti because these are the demigods and all the controlling agents. And now in 31, it describes the Kriya Shakti, which is connected with the mode of passion, Adhyatmakam. Ariyatmika Dhaivik. And from that passion comes the sense organs. That's why in the beginning I made the comment That's why if you go back to 19, the three modes are the three modes were further manifested as matter, which is dravya, knowledge, which is jnana, or the deities presiding the organs of the senses, and action, which is the organs of the senses themselves. So they're all related to. So if you have dravya, you have adibhutam and ignorance, basically. There's a connection there. It's a manifestation of ignorance. Then you have adidhaivam, which is also called jnana shakti. It's a manifestation of false ego in the mode of goodness. And then you have the sense organs, which is adhyatmika, which is kriya shakti, which is false ego manifested in the mode of passion. So, by further transformation in the mode of passion, the sense organs, like the ear, skin, nose, eyes, tongue, mouth, hands, genitals, legs, and the outlet for evacuating, together with intelligence and living entity, are all generated. So this is basically how the creation is described. Okay. Any questions? Yes.
I want to ask kind of a technical question that is related more to what you're saying in the beginning.
Yeah.
Do you know if you have to take the conquering for the action or the controller?
Yeah.
And then the question I came up with, I was wondering why it has to be so that when you're doing it, you decide that he doesn't really want to serve God, he wants to be God.
Yeah.
Why Krishna forces him into a situation where he can have that illusion, but then he's also forced to suffer? Wouldn't it be more of magnanimous or something.
Yeah.
Depending on the situation that you have that illusion. Or even make it a reality, I suppose.
Right.
And then not have to also, you know, suffer.
Yeah, but you see, real satisfaction can only be in truth. The living entity is already in illusion. As soon as he wants to, his desire is beyond his constitution. So how can he be satisfied with that? How can he be satisfied with something beyond your constitution? I want to enjoy and control, but you are the servant. So the only way God can satisfy that desire is to make you God.
Is that not possible?
What?
Is it not possible for God to change your constitution?
And make you God?
Yeah.
Is it possible for God to make not God? Then there's no God. God means the controller and the living entities. That's what God is. Then there's no God, actually. So can God create not God? There's no God then. God means supreme. You see, what you want is God to create as everything is one. So everyone could become God. But that's not the reality. God is the supreme controller. That's reality. Okay, now we'll go to the real world.